I just wanted to say a few words before the next thing that happens today happens. I don't actually know what it's going to be. Somebody's going to put on another pumpkin hat and we'll never know what happens next. I was on the East Coast during the last 2 months when I was gone. I was mostly in seclusion in Washington State working on this book about Swami Kriyananda, but I'd made a promise a year ago that I would also do some classes in Boston, New York, and Rhode Island, and Maine, four cities on the East Coast. So in the middle, I drove to Seattle and flew there. And I was visiting with friends in New York, and we started having a conversation about love. And this was a man talking to me, and he was, is an extremely sincere devotee, and was trying to get his mind around the idea of devotion. Sometimes, not always, for women it's more natural because women tend to think in terms of relating to the world and being involved with people around them. But sometimes when men get on the spiritual path, it's more about discipline and it's more about willpower, and it's not always as natural to them. It's interesting because Master said, more women are naturally drawn to the spiritual path because devotion is more natural to women. But more men become great because they have the... Sorry about that. I have to say it. Because they have the willpower. And so more women can just cruise with it easily where men can't do that. But the female, I'll take it out of men and women and just say masculine and feminine, okay? So you can identify anywhere you want to on the spectrum. Women and men exist because male and female exist. But masculine willpower is fundamental to the spiritual path, and feminine receptivity is fundamental to the spiritual path, and often the body you're born in is inclined one way or another. How's that? Did I make it through? Okay. Sometimes I forget, and I just speak plain English, so forgive me. But that is really the point, because gender doesn't matter. So in any case, I was talking with this male-identified human who was also inhabiting a body that was recognizable to society as a male body. And because he was influenced by the hormonal structure of the body in which he identified, he was having a harder time getting the devotional side. All right? You're still with me? I haven't lost anybody. I'm not going to get a lot of emails in the morning about this, okay? Watch the video. In any case, he was saying, may I use the pronoun? Okay. He was saying, he was just sort of trying to find his way into the concept of love. And I, being living in a female body, but having a lot of identification with the male energy, my own inclination has been more toward wisdom and joy, really, than, I mean, very devotional, but from a different angle. But so I also have had to think about this, because sentiment has never appealed to me. You know, I like depth. I don't like superficial. So it's, you know, how all these things work out. We're all different. Swamiji said, a great deal of damage is done in the spiritual path when we try to stamp everybody out into the same mold, because we're all such an interesting, complex blend of pieces. So to come to all of this, and he's a very heart-oriented man, so it was a kind of an interesting conversation. And I was trying to find a way to think about what love is. And then he himself offered it to me because he was talking about gratitude and how grateful he is to his wife and how grateful he is to his guru and how grateful he is to this person. And it just seemed so obvious to me all of a sudden that, you know, gratitude is love made manifest. Because we can talk about love, but it's really quite an abstraction. And especially on the spiritual path, it can fall so easily, as I was saying, either into sentiment or just into a kind of emotion that doesn't have the power to stand up against being tested. And on the spiritual path, it's not enough sentiment on our spiritual path. Sentiment isn't enough. If we are really serious, or even just moderately serious, about actual self-realization, then we have to be pushed a little bit. We have to be pushed to find out, what is it that I really trust? What is it that I really believe in? Where does my power really come from? And almost every experience that we end up calling a test is always just that. Somehow or another, the picture that we've arranged, however we've arranged it, whether it's a picture of money or picture of physical security or picture of other people's relation to us or health or expectation of safety for the people that we love, something will happen to jar that. And when it's jarred, all of a sudden the question comes into our head, like, where is my security? What do I really have faith in? And it's really hard to understand why so many challenging things happen to sincere devotees, because we start out with this sentimental idea: I love God, God loves me, this is what love looks like. And a lot of times it can look like that. It's not that it never does, but if it ever does, we get the thought in our mind that this is what love is. Love is when you take care of me, when I take care of you, and when God takes care of all of us, and this is what it looks like when he takes care of us. And when that divine hand reaches in and just crumples up that piece of paper and drops it over here, where are we in that? But this is where this whole idea that gratitude as an expression of love becomes so interesting, doesn't it? Because I was talking to, I can't even remember the circumstances now, just as a memory exercise, I can see the person, I can see the place, but I can't quite see the person's face. But we were talking about, we were talking about martyrdom. We were just talking about, you know, really terrible things happening, being, you know, the good old burned at the stake, put in the concentration camp, those kinds of scenarios, which perhaps don't entertain you all as much as I think about them. Maybe this isn't your idea of an after-dinner talk, being burned at the stake and so on like that. But nonetheless, it happens to a lot of people who really love God a lot, that instead of it all being smooth sailing, sometimes it's really just the opposite. But I was running the thought in my mind, if you knew, if I knew, that there would be a very big price on freedom, a very big price on unending bliss, would I be willing to pay that price? And would I consider the price too high? Or would I be grateful for the opportunity to finish the karma and just go through it? I mean, that doesn't mean one wouldn't be scared. I was talking, I remember, about this when I was up in the mountains on this holiday. It started snowing. I was convinced it wouldn't start snowing until after I left, but it started snowing 3 weeks before I left. And I didn't have a four-wheel drive, and I had this big driveway. I mean, I actually got my own car stuck, because instead of waiting for them to come and plow it, I thought I'd just see what my little Toyota could do, which was not much. So I managed to get it stuck right in the middle of this half-mile driveway, right in the middle. I had to load the car with a sled, you know. It was just like that. It was comical. It wasn't tragic. It was just comic. But when the snow first started coming down, I'm standing at the window and just watching. It's absolutely beautiful like this. I think I flipped back into being one of the Donner Party. In any case, in my warm and cozy house, absolutely secure. My car was stuck, but all I had to do was put on my boots and walk to the neighbor, which was 15 minutes away. I was perfectly safe. Absolute panic set in. Just panic. Starvation, cold, alone, helpless, you know, just the whole thing. And I stood there. I got myself really frightened, just all by myself. Just stunning, all by myself. I got completely frightened. And I really felt it was a past life memory, whether I had been an old Eskimo put out on the ice floe or whatever it was that happens to us. I finally actually had to sit down and do Kriya, which in itself was very interesting. I had to ask the question, where does this fear come from? Where does this fear exist? And I realized it existed as a karmic memory stored in my spine. And it was a karmic memory low down in my spine, because if it was higher, it wouldn't frighten me. It would be a fact, but it wouldn't frighten me. So I actually did Kriya to pull the karma up to the point where if it doesn't go away, at least you can say, well, whatever happened to me in the past has brought me to this point. And this is the point at which I am dedicated to seeking God and have had the good karma to become the disciple of a great master. So how could anything that ever happened to me before be bad? Because even in this life, all of you have lived through, I mean, we all know each other's lives very well. We've all had our notable moments. I was talking to a friend about his daughter who's, you know, and her, she's a young adult, and some hard things are going to happen to her. And, you know, the father's heart just breaks over that. I just looked at him and I said, think about your own life, my friend. All of us have been through it. Do you actually ever imagine for a moment that just because this person is your offspring, they're going to get to wisdom without having to earn it by the power of love, willpower, and then ultimately gratitude? Because gratitude doesn't say that I liked it. Gratitude doesn't say that I'm unafraid of it. Gratitude doesn't say that I wished you had a better plan than this one. But it says, as long as God is in charge, as long as I'm living for God, I know everything that's going to come to me is going to be to help me grow stronger. I had another moment. I was in the cabin for almost 4 months, completely isolated, no phone, no email. It was wonderful, totally wonderful. And it wasn't wilderness, it was just rural. But I had another, I had the Donner Party moment, which was pretty freaky. And then I just had another all by myself moment where the evil marauders came in with, you know, big clubs and broke the windows and then broke me into lots of little pieces. Just, again, just sitting there all by yourself, and then all of a sudden you just freak out. So I'm freaking out on this one. There's absolutely, absolutely no basis for it, even less than for the Donner Party. There was just no basis for it, except the fear was real. And there was nothing I could do to stop it because I was so isolated. If anybody broke into the house, you know, that would be that. But I asked myself the question, would God do that to me without there being a very good reason that would ultimately bring me spiritual freedom? Now, it's a very interesting question to ask about every difficulty you face. Would God do that to me if there wasn't a really good reason, a karmic debt to be paid, an opportunity, a final test, the opportunity to prove something to myself, to find something in myself I didn't know was there? That's why tests come. They don't come to break us. They come to show us that we are infinitely powerful. And you can know that in theory, but when you're really tested, even my little Donner Party, just the ability to sit down and do those kriyas and pull myself out of that past life, I mean, it gave me a confidence that nothing can ever take away from you, because you see, that power is yours, completely independent of anything. It's always within you. So this idea that is cliche for Thanksgiving, but it's a cliche because it's so true and everybody wants to say it, you know, what we need to cultivate in our lives is very simple. It's so simple. A relationship with God, a relationship of love and trust that is based on the fact that everything that he sends me because in the end, it will prove a gift. And if the price seems high, it's the power of trust and faith that takes us through that. You know, these are times that we're living in where we just really don't know what's going to come next. It's just it's a loony kind of time to be living in. Really loony. You just don't know. Things that people took for granted. And somebody told me recently that they're starting to cultivate meat in a laboratory so that you can still be not a vegetarian, but you won't actually have to kill anything to have meat. I can't quite, biologically, I don't know how that would exist. But the odd thing, because I've just been staying up in this ranch country, I thought, well, there goes another profession. You know, all the ranchers are now just going to be put out of business. I mean, who would ever think that ranchers would be put out of business? But we just don't know. We know only one thing, which is that everything that God sends us, He sends us because in the end we'll be happier and freer. If we take it with love, we take it with willpower, we take it with joy. It doesn't mean happiness. It doesn't mean always standing up. But there's so much power in that. And I think the world we're living in right now, you know, our job is so simple. It's really so simple. I've been called a number of times to deathbeds where people were dying to be with them. Sometimes it's an Ananda scene where everyone's together. Wow, that's weird. Where everyone's together and we all sort of know what we're doing. But I've also been called to deathbed scenes where nobody knew what they were doing at all. And it's been so interesting for me because I realized that all I really could bring to a situation, because nobody wanted to know about the astral world and the soul and the jiva and the chakras and how the body, nobody knows, nobody wants to know. But everybody wants to not be afraid. And I realized, just walking in, I had to be in a hospital room when they turned off the life support system. That was memorable. And the man had been unconscious. The decision was made. He was unconscious. But when they were going to turn the life support off system, he woke. He was completely wide awake. And he knew at 3 o'clock it was going to be the end. He was marvelous. Everybody else was totally panic-stricken. But I just realized all I had to do was stand there and be not afraid. Not one word was required. I just had to stand there and be not afraid. Now that's true in every situation, everywhere. And there's only one way to be not afraid. And that is to know my Divine Mother is always with me. And no matter what it looks like, she's got me by the hand. She's taking me where she needs to take me. And it might not be any fun trying to get there. But if I just hold on, she'll take me. And all of us now in this world that we're living in, this is our single job. Just trust God and don't be afraid. And just stand there in that, and you'll find this radiating ring goes out from you. And everybody who stands in that will just, to that extent, also have that much more courage, that much more love, and in the end, that much more gratitude. Thank you, God. You know, this little children's song that Swami, you know, sing like the birdie, sing, dance like the butterfly. You know, it's just so unsophisticated. And it just takes the whole big story, this huge, big story, and it brings it right down to the only thing that matters. You know, that's why he made those songs. Swami's principle of children's songs was, don't make them do anything that they're going to be really embarrassed about later. And tell them the truth, even though you tell it to them in ways that are child language. But you know, we can just hear that. Look at the world and say, thank you. Ah, what an interesting idea. You know? I feel like all of us in this family, which is a long, old spiritual family together, you know, we really came here together to do a job. And that job is we're a pulse. We're a pulse that says there are God-realized masters and we are part of their family and we are their emissaries. And you don't have to know any of the Sanskrit words. You just have to know God is taking care of us, whether the road is rocky, whether the road is smooth. We are never walking it alone. And just hold that thought in your heart. And then look at the world and say, thank you. Put on a little scarf and dance like the butterfly. And just feel that power in you. And really everything else we want will follow. So God bless you all.